It's been a long time since I last preached on a Sunday morning without a robe on. I was remembering the last time I did it, I was pastor at Kingston United Methodist Church out in Hunt County. Mom and Dad know where Kingston is. It's a wonderful little church, and it's just off the side of Highway 69, about halfway, a little more than halfway, between Greenville and Celeste, Texas. And it's a nice little church. It was part of the three-point charge, including First Methodist in Celeste and Kingston in White Rock. And one of the members of that church was a sweet old fellow by the name of Brother Freeman Pearson. He was a Methodist minister, retired, and he was had his charge conference membership at the Kingston Church, and his wife would play the piano one Sunday, and he'd come, and he was bent over, and he was real slow, and he walked like this, and he was always so serious. And I'd been there maybe 3 weeks, and it was hot, and the air conditioning wasn't working, and so I was preaching in shirt sleeves, and I was just a preaching away, and I was serious, and I was in tune on the points I was trying to make. I was focused in on what was going on. And in the middle of the message, old Freeman stood up on the front row and said, "Brother Greg, your fly is open." So I moved over behind the pulpit and took care of it. And from that day on, I wore a robe every single Sunday morning without fail. So if, no, never mind. I was stunned to note that the authors of the lectionary, the fellows who decide what scriptures could be read for worship on Sunday mornings, and you don't have to stick to those. Nevertheless, I like to. I was stunned to note that they chickened out on today's reading. They chickened out on the reading from 2 Samuel because they cut out of the reading the most interesting part of the story. They had taken the Ark of the Covenant and they were going to go to Jerusalem with it. And they were having a wonderful party, and they were dancing, and they were singing, and they were leading the Ark of the Covenant on towards Jerusalem with the musical instruments playing. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen had shaken it. Remember, he was following them on behind the ark. His brother was in front, and he was following behind. And they're coming to the threshing floor, and the oxen stumbled or something, and the cart it was on shook, and it looked like it was going to fall over. So Uzzah reaches out and does what we would all do, reaches out and takes a hold of it to steady it. Sounds reasonable, sounds good, doesn't it? Well, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah, so that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day, and Perez Uzzah means bursting out against Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord. I would imagine so. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care? I'm not going to have it in my house. What if I'm destined by mistake and touch the ark?" He doesn't say that here, but that's interpreted. So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Let him take care of it. I don't want it. Let him take care of it. And they took it into their house, and it blessed them so much that David went and got it and brought it to to the city of David, to Jerusalem. And it says here in verse 13, "And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." Interesting juxtaposition here between a reason to be afraid of this box and a reason to rejoice in its presence. And frankly, my friends, that's how we should approach God every week. With a balance of awe and respect for His presence and His love and His power and His grace, balanced against the joy and celebration of His presence. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I suppose the first question we need to ask today is, why did God strike Uzzah down? He was reaching out to steady the ark. He was reaching out to do something good and right. He was reaching out to keep the ark from falling over and breaking. He was reaching out to stop it from coming off the cart. Why did God strike Uzzah down? You know, that just doesn't seem fair and right to me. Put yourself into the context of that day and age. First of all, they were transporting the ark the wrong way. The ark wasn't supposed to be on a new cart or an old cart. It was to be carried by Levites. And only Levites were supposed to touch it. And Uzzah was not a Levite. And then by carrying it on a cart, new, old, didn't matter, with people who were not Levites taking care of it, they were showing disrespect for God and for the symbol of God's presence in among His people, the Ark of the Covenant. When I was a kid, I used to squirm in church some. Mom goes, "Some." I did. I was squirmy. Wasn't squirmy as I understand. Is it your son was squirmy? Yeah. But I was squirmy, and I made noise. And that was disrespectful, and they made sure I knew it was disrespectful. Being in the presence of God is a time for great respect, great awe, great amazement. Being in the presence of God is a time in which we should realize that God expects from us our attention, our love, and our devotion. And my brothers and sisters, when we enter into this house of worship amongst our brothers and sisters, when we lift our prayers of praise and thanksgiving, when we sing the hymns of joy, when we celebrate together on these Sunday mornings in our worship services, we are in the presence of Almighty God. Praise be to Jesus that in Christ Jesus we are all members of the priesthood of believers. We are all Levites, friends, and have the honor and joy of being in the close proximity to God, to where we can reach out and in our brothers and sisters touch part of the body of Christ. We are called to have respect for God, respect for His house, respect for the real presence of Jesus here with us today. But that doesn't mean that we can't rejoice and celebrate and dance and sing, knowing that He is here. David did exactly that. What was he doing when he was leading the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem? Were they walking along? Were they carrying? Anybody ever seen the Monty Python movie, The Search for the Holy Grail? And the monks, I knew those two had. The monks who walked around went, wham! Wham! Treating the religious life as something that you beat on yourself with regards to. I think I broke your hymnal. That's not what we're called to be about here, friends. Beating on ourselves with the Word of God won't do anything but break the spine of our Bibles and hurt our heads. This is a house of prayer and praise. This is a house of study and celebration. And when David was leading the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, they were dancing and they were singing praises to Almighty God. Some jokes have been made. Am I going to do the hula up here? Or should we have Jim do the hula? The other Jim out there, Harper. Should we have him do the hula up here in praise and joy to God's presence? Don't worry, I'm not going to dance even like David danced for you. That would be embarrassing. He was wearing an ephod, a priestly robe. I gave thought as to whether or not I would wear anything ministerial today. It's part of the reason why I wore this clashing stole. First thing Janet did when she saw me was turn it around so that it's not so busy. No, it's on purpose. They were celebrating. The symbol of the presence of God was coming into their city to remind them always that God was with them. We have that same reminder, friends, in the Holy Scriptures, in our prayer time, in our worship and celebration, in our singing of hymns, in our fellowship together, in the meal we're going to eat today, in our study time together, we are reminded that we are in God's presence. And that demands both respect and rejoicing. That demands both respect and awe and rejoicing. And that's exactly what David did. Note the difference. On the journey at the beginning of the reading, the ark was on a cart. When they took it up again to take it to Jerusalem, it had bearers. And after the bearers had gone 6 steps, they stopped and made sacrifice to God in celebration. I guess that they'd gone 6 steps and hadn't gotten struck dead. That's what I'd be doing, thanking you, God, we're doing it right. We are celebrating and giving thanks with the proper respect for God's presence here. My friends, today we call a Luau Sunday, a celebration Sunday, a party day. In many ways it is. I'm happy to see all the many different colors in the congregation today and the food. There's a huge pineapple upside down cake out there. And most of it's mine. Yes, I do. I love that kind of cake. Well, my friends, it is celebration, and it is good and proper and right to celebrate in the presence of God, to dance in your heart with all the joy that God's grace gives you, and if you feel called, even to dance at your feet, and to have a proper respect for the presence of God in our midst. And our brothers and sisters seated next to us in the pews, in the Word being read and proclaimed and sung, and songs of hymns and praises and joy. This is the family of God. And my prayer for us over the next many weeks and months and years is that we can be a family that prays and has respect for God together and can celebrate together with joy and thanksgiving. Because God has given us so much. So much to rejoice over and be thankful for. Here we have David, the man, the shepherd boy, the specially chosen one of God, consecrated by God to be the king over Israel, leading the procession of the presence of God into the holy city, Jerusalem. Dancing, and they're playing the tambourine and the lyre and the harp, and they're sounding the horns, and everything is a great joy. And they're doing it right with the proper respect and the proper worship and with the joy and celebration that it is due. And what happens? As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul and wife of the king now, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. She despised him. David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as a prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. She looked upon him as he danced and thought it was a horrible thing. How dare he celebrate? How dare he expose himself? You got to understand, one other reading says he was wearing a robe. All right, in the Chronicles. But here, in 2 Samuel, it says he just wore the linen ephod of a priest. The linen ephod of a priest is a linen garment that you wrap around your waist. It goes from here to here. It don't cover nothing else, friends. And he's out there dancing before the people. But more importantly, he's out there dancing before God, celebrating God's presence. Sounds weird to us. Wasn't weird to them. Michal was angry because it wasn't fitting that the king would be dancing in the presence of God and in the presence of the people. It wasn't fitting that the king would be out there making a spectacle of himself. My friends, when we celebrate God's presence, sometimes some people will look at us and say, "Who are they to be raising their hands in prayer and praise?" My friends, when they look down their noses at us for worshiping God and celebrating His presence, be reminded of Michal. Be reminded of her words and David's words in response. Be reminded that the Spirit of God is called to move through us as a congregation in prayer and praise to Him with the proper respect for His presence. And if we maintain that balance of respect and prayer and praise in the house of God, we can't go wrong. Over the next weeks, I pray. over the next months, I pray, over the next years, I pray, that we can hold the presence of God in the proper amount of respect and at the same time celebrate and dance in praise and prayer in the presence of Almighty God. Does that mean really dance? If you feel so called in your heart to dance before the Lord, who knows? Open your heart to God. Open your soul to Almighty God. Allow the Holy Spirit to move through you and fill you with the proper respect and the praise and rejoiceful, grace-filled dancing of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we as the family of God can rejoice together. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the people of God say, Amen.